Our dear Lord, we, with reverence, come into thy holy presence this Sabbath evening. We come, our gracious God, at the close of a day that is far spent, a day that has brought us toward evening. And, O Lord, it is our prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, abide with us. O gracious God, I think again of those who have heard the gospel over this weekend, and not just these past few nights, but Lord, for years. And they're still unconverted. They're still on the road, a broad, broad road, a crowded road, on their way to a lost sinner's hell. Oh Lord, we cannot leave them lost and lone. We want them over there. And dear Lord, I pray that tonight, some man or some woman, some husband, some wife, some son or daughter will come tonight to the Lord Jesus Christ. And they'll get off the broad road. And they'll get on to the straight and the narrow that leads to heaven, home, and glory. Lord, answer prayer. Fill me, Lord, I pray, with the power of the Holy Spirit. And help me, Lord, to preach thy word in all sincerity. And from my heart, help me, Lord, to preach Christ and to make much of his precious blood and the Savior's holy and lovely name. I ask these things. Amen. Mark chapter 2. Like to consider the words of the third verse. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. No matter where the Lord's ministry took him, he encountered a variety of responses to his preaching. For example, he arrived, as we read here, at Capernaum, having crossed over the Sea of Galilee. And we find that quite a number of people didn't want him there. Matthew 8 and verse 34 records for us, behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, they besought him that he would depart out of their coasts. A whole population. The population of a whole city came out to see him. And when they saw him, they pleaded with him to depart. Can you believe that? Can you believe that so many people set themselves against Jesus Christ and couldn't even bear to look upon him? And they besought him to depart out of their coast. Get out of our city. Get out of our time. Get out of our sight. Didn't want the Lord. Didn't want the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, it seems as though today there are so many that have no place for the Lord Jesus. Time for business, time for pleasure. but no time for the Lord Jesus Christ. And maybe as we've been saying over these few meetings, maybe there's some tonight again and you don't want to have anything to do with the Lord. Yes, you would be standing in that crowd who besought him to depart out of their course. That's an awful shame. An awful shame, dear man or dear woman, if you have no time for the Lord Jesus. Then upon his arrival in Capernaum, we are told that he entered into a certain house. And amongst those who were gathered there, according to Luke 5 and 17, his account of the same incident. According to Luke 5 and 17, there were Pharisees and doctors of the law there. Now, what was their response to the ministry of the Lord Jesus? What did they think of his preaching? Well, you see, that's just it. They didn't respond to his preaching either way. For we are told the Pharisees and doctors of the law were sitting by. Or as we have it here in verse 6, but there were certain scribes sitting there. Luke says they were just sitting by. Mark tells us they were doing nothing else but just sitting there. They did not show any interest in Christ or in his word. They were only and merely sitting there. And I fear that's the case in many a gospel meeting. In many a church service. You have men and women and they come and they sit and they hear the gospel, but there's no response. They're just sitting there. Just sitting there. They're just sitting by. They're indifferent to the gospel. They're indifferent to the preaching of Christ. They're indifferent to the person of Christ. Couldn't care less if they never heard another gospel sermon. Couldn't care less if they never heard another gospel appeal. Couldn't care less if they never heard that hymn sung, "Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me." Well, when they pass into a lost eternity, they'll not hear any more preaching. There'll be no sermons. There'll be no singing. There'll be no gospel appeal. But then, thankfully, not everyone in that house was merely sitting by. There were those who had a genuine interest in the Lord Jesus Christ. They were genuinely interested in what Christ could do for them, and in particular, what he could do for a certain individual. Is there anyone here tonight who is interested in what Jesus Christ can do for you? Are you interested in what Christ can do for you? But because, praise his holy name, he can do a lot for you. More than you'll ever know. They'd come to that house because they believed the Lord could do something for this man, the man sick of the palsy. So let us look at what he did for this man. This man that was brought to that house where the Lord was ministering and preaching the word. I want us, first of all, with regard to this house and the people who were gathered there, I want us to notice the coming of the Master. Coming of the Lord Jesus into that house. Look at how the chapter begins. And again, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. Matthew says, and again he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city, Capernaum. Matthew 9, verse 1. The Savior regarded Capernaum as his home city while he carried on his home, his earthly ministry. And we are told then that he returned to his own city, which is an indication that he had been there before. Now he's returning. So here then is the return of the Master. He returned, entering into this house, and there he preached the word unto them. And so an opportunity had been given to these four men to bring their friend, sick of the palsy, to the house. Because the Lord had come back again, and there was an opportunity for them to meet with Christ. He'd been there before, but lo and behold, according to his matchless grace, he's come back again. And I'm sure this man that was sick of the palsy was glad the Lord came back again, that the Lord returned. So an opportunity had been given to the people of that city and surrounding areas to hear once again the Master preach the word. You've been given an opportunity tonight again. Through the preaching of the gospel, the Lord Jesus has returned again to this place. He's returned once more to give you an opportunity once again to receive him as your Savior. My, when you think of it, here's the same Christ who was here on Friday night and people refused him. He came back again Saturday night and people refused him. He was here this morning and people refused him. And he's back again tonight. He has returned to give you an opportunity. The gospel has been preached to you again. Isn't it a wonderful thing? It's as if God, through these meetings, is setting up, as it were, gospel barricades. He's setting up gospel barricades on that broad road that's leading you down to hell. And he's setting up these barricades to give you an opportunity to get saved before you fall into hell. He's shutting you in with the gospel message. Now, for you to get into that place called hell, you have to trample over those barricades. You have to trample his word under your foot. And you'll pay for it. Friend, you'll pay for it. You'll pay for it for all eternity. Think of it. Friday night was the first meeting. Here we are at the last meeting. Friday, Saturday, Sabbath day. I wonder how many souls have passed into eternity in those 3 days. How many? People are dying all around us. and before, or when these meetings began, they were alive and healthy and their heart was beating. There was a sparkle in their eye. And tonight they're in eternity. And in homes throughout this area, there's an empty chair. There's broken hearts. There's a new grave has been dug. And another soul has passed away. And I'll tell you something. Those souls who have died without Christ between Friday and now would wish they were sitting where you're sitting tonight. If only they could have heard the gospel one more time. And there they are in outer darkness. Oh, and it's not the preaching of the gospel they're hearing. It's the terrible weeping and wailing of lost souls. It's not the singing of "Just as I Am" that they're listening to. The cry of tormented souls. And I say that on good authority. I say that on the authority of this book. I'm not telling you any fairy tale. I'm not spinning you a story. I'm telling you the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And souls have passed into eternity, and here you are in a gospel meeting tonight. And you've been given another opportunity because the Lord has come back again through this preaching of His Word. What are you going to do with this opportunity? Could be your last. Could be your last. One of our churches back in Ulster, there was a man and his wife attended the meetings every week. The wife was saved and a good godly Christian. Her husband wasn't saved at all. He'd been prayed for years. The husband and wife came to the Sabbath evening service. Heard the gospel. Went out of the church, got into their car. Never reached home. Involved in an accident. The husband was killed. Was his last opportunity. His last opportunity. And he didn't take it. My friend, take this opportunity tonight. It could be your last. Not only do we have the return of the Master, but you have the report about the Master. Mark informs us in verse 1, and it was noised that he was in this house. See, the word spread. People were talking that Jesus of Nazareth had returned to Capernaum and he was in the house. People were talking and people were hearing that the Lord was in the house, and so multitudes came to that house, including the man sick of the palsy. Why do they follow up on the report? Oh, I'm sure some, no doubt, came out of curiosity. They'd heard a lot about this Jesus of Nazareth. Others to observe, no doubt. Well, others came believing that Jesus could do something for them. That is why this man was there, because he and his friends believed Jesus of Nazareth could help him. Jesus of Nazareth could help him. And all, if only men and women would believe his report. If only men and women today would believe the report about the Lord Jesus and come to him. I can give you a report tonight. I can give you a report from this place, this pulpit. I can report that Jesus is in this house. I can report that he can make the sinner whole. I can report that he can make the drunkard sober. I can report he can make the harlot pure. I can report that he can make the blasphemer sing his praises. That's my report. I can report that Jesus Christ can do something for you that nobody else can do. I can report. He can make anew lives that have been wrecked and destroyed by sin. I can report that he can build again homes that the devil has destroyed. I can report that he can mend broken marriages. He can reconcile family members. He can give rest to the troubled conscience. Healing to the broken heart. Health to the sin-sick soul. Joy to the sorrowful. I can report that he can give cleansing for their sin and iniquity. That's my report. And that's my Jesus. That's my Jesus. Are you going to believe the report? Are you going to behave and respond to the report as those did that day when the Lord entered the house? Because they believed he could do something for them. Notice the reception by the Master. What Mark said about the crowds that came to him in that house says, and straightway many were gathered together insomuch that there was no room to receive them. You know, that tells me. It tells me the Lord Jesus was ready to receive all comers. All who would come. That's what it says, isn't it? There was no room to receive them. Such was the crowd. But there are no such restrictions or impediments here tonight. Jesus Christ, praise his holy name, will receive all comers. What do you think of that? He'll receive all comers. He'll receive the rich and the poor, the bond and the free, the religious and the irreligious. He'll receive the young or the old, the down and out or the up and in. My Jesus receiveth sinful man. Whatever your background, whatever you've done, wherever you've been, there's only one qualification for coming to Jesus Christ, And that is, you're a sinner. And that qualifies everybody, doesn't it? But everybody will not come. What was it the Pharisees said? Luke 15, verse 2. This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. You know what I'm going to tell you? Those Pharisees never spoke a truer word. Might have been the only words of truth they spoke in their life. This man receiveth sinners. Well, hallelujah, I'm glad he does. They meant it as an insult, but it was the truth. And many of us wouldn't be here tonight if the Lord Jesus didn't receive sinners. That word receive means to receive to oneself. It has the thought of receiving someone, throwing their arms around them and receiving them onto themselves. We read in the Gospels about lepers and this man sick of the palsy. Another man had the disease of dropsy. If people saw a leper come down the street, they would turn around and go home another way. They wouldn't even walk in the same street as a leper. And we are told that the Lord Jesus touched a leper. That word touch means to embrace. It wasn't as if he stood and held the leper at arm's length and touched him and healed him. No! He embraced him. He put his arms around him. Nobody else would have done that. And the man with the disease of dropsy was a most disfiguring disease. Men just would not have wanted to look upon someone with dropsy. But we read in the Gospels that he received the man with dropsy. He put his arms around him. Oh, what a Savior. He receives those that nobody else wants. Nobody else would have anything to do with them. Yes, he receives sinners. He receives harlots. He receives drunkards. He receives drug addicts. He receives gamblers. He receives all comers. And you know something? He'll receive you. He'll receive you tonight. How will he receive you? With open arms. He'll receive you unto himself. Couldn't wish for a better friend or a better Savior. Then I want you to notice the companions on a mission. The companions of this man who was sick of the palsy, they were on a mission. This poor man was unable to walk, he was paralyzed. But he had friends. He had friends who cared about him. You've got friends who care about you. You've got friends that that don't just care about your physical state, but they care about your spiritual state. And let me tell you, the person who cares about your soul is the best friend you have. That person's the best friend you have. The one who cares about your soul. You know what David said one day? David, the king of Israel, he said, "No man careth for my soul." Well, I can tell you tonight, you cannot say that. If you've been invited to this service tonight, that is evidence that the person who invited you cares about you. And you ought to thank God for that person. They care about you. Their prayers prove that. Their tears prove that. Their heartache proves that. Their sleepless nights prove that. I had a dear woman in my church in Newton Abbey, Mrs. Craig. She had a son, an only son, who wasn't saved. Her son was prayed for at every meeting. Came to the services, but showed absolutely no interest. And any time you spoke to Mrs. Craig, you'd only to mention her son's name, and the tears started to flow. She longed to see her son saved. She was heartbroken. Did that mother care for her son? Her tears proved that she did. And this man, sick of the palsy, had friends. Notice their purpose. Their sole purpose was to bring this man to Christ, where it says, verse 3, "And they come unto him." Or as Matthew puts it, "And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy." That was their purpose. Met with obstacles, but their purpose was to get that man to Christ. And I confess tonight, I confess that's my purpose. I'm not here to entertain anybody. I'm not here to tell yarns and spin jokes. My purpose tonight, and with God's help every time I preach, is to get men and women to Christ. That's my purpose. If I didn't have that purpose in my heart, I might as well not be a preacher. I shouldn't be standing in this pulpit tonight. My purpose, my friend, is to do all in my power and the power that God gives me to get you to Jesus. It is my purpose to rescue the perishing and care for the dying and snatch them and pity o'er sin and the grave, to weep o'er the erring one, lift up the fallen, and tell them of Jesus, the mighty to save. Great, isn't it? Great story. He is mighty to save. Rescue the perishing. That's where you are tonight. You're a young person. You believed of your whole life ahead of you. You're healthy.
but you're perishing. You're going down and down and down every day you live. Nearer and nearer and nearer. To that fire that's burning beneath your feet. And you're only a step away. Now, but David said, there's but a step between me and death. My friend, I wish you would get this into your heart. I wish you would take it seriously. I wish you would be serious about this matter. That you're perishing in your sins. And when you leave this scene of time and die as you live, will have perished finally forever. Men today are dying without hope and without God. And if you're not saved, you're one of them. And there is that unfathomable abyss gaping wide beneath your feet, ready to swallow you up once your last breath has gone from your body. And there'll be a legion of demons ready to carry your soul off to the caverns of the damned. You're perishing. That's the truth. You need Christ. And the best that I can do tonight is to tell you that. I want to bring you to the Savior. The four friends of the man sick of the palsy were able to literally carry him to Christ. I can't do that. Said that the other night. I'd love to be able to do it, but I can't do it. None of us can. Love to be able to carry you to the Savior. But I can't. All I can do is tell you what the Lord Jesus has done for sinners. No greater love has any man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friend. Young man, joined the army, was deployed on a battlefield. Might have been Vietnam, I'm not sure. Two or three of his friends were in the same battalion. They were out one day and the enemy threw a hand grenade into their midst. One of the young men threw himself in the hand grenade and blew himself to pieces, but his friends, their lives were spared. After the war, the parents of the dead soldier thought it would be good if they were to invite their son's friends around one night to their home. This they duly did. The three young men, fellow soldiers, came to the house. Talked about old times. Talked about the young man who had given his life to save these three boys. And the night went on and two of the young men left. Third stayed on until he was just, could hardly walk. He was so drunk. Staggered out of the house, cursing and blaspheming. When they finally closed the door, The mother of the dead soldier said to her husband, to think our son laid down his life for an old wretch like that there. But to think that Jesus Christ laid down his life for 10,000 wretches. That is love indeed. No greater love hath any man than this, than he lay down his life for his friends. And in seeking to bring you to Christ, I want to show you his wounds. I would like you to look to Calvary and see the crown of thorns. I'd like you to see that black, that back flowing in rivers of blood. I'd like you to see the nails piercing his flesh. I'd like you to hear him cry, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I'd like you to see him dying. Dying for sinful wretches such as me. I'll never understand it. Why Jesus Christ died for me. How can you refuse then tonight, one who has done so much, endured so much, given so much, sacrificed so much, and loved so much? How can you laugh in his face and say, I will not have this man to rule over me? May the Lord pity you. Notice his partners. These men were partners. They shared the burden of getting this man to Christ. They're like those today who share the burden. Share the burden of your soul's salvation. Yes, that's what they do. Like that mother I told you about, whose only son was not saved. She had a burden she couldn't carry alone. It's breaking her heart. So she told me about her son, shared the burden with me, and I shared it with her praying friends in the church, and we all shared the burden. Because we all wanted to see the young man saved. A Christian mother is an unsaved husband. And she doesn't know what she's going to do. She wants to see the man she married saved. She wants him to be in heaven with her. And she doesn't know what to do. And she shares it with the minister and the elders and her friends. And says, will you pray for my husband? Will you pray for my son? Will you pray for my daughter? She's gone astray. In every prayer meeting, their names are mentioned. Because a lot of people care. Does that mean it not mean anything to you that tonight? Does it not mean anything to you that the person who invited you here tonight cares about you? Does it not mean a thing to you? You're hard-hearted. You have a heart like adamant stone. If you don't care. about those who care for you. I want to tell you something. Your friends care for you. Your mama, your dad, husband, wife, whatever the case may be, whatever the relationship. But there's no one, no one who cares for you like Jesus. Does that not mean anything to you? That no one cares for you like Christ. You notice the power. As Luke tells us, the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Luke 5:17. Reference again to the Pharisees. They were sitting by and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. But Mark tells us something better than that. You say, what can be better than that? The power was present to heal them. But look at verse 10 of Mark 2. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. That's better still. Yes, he had power to heal the man sick of the palsy. But better than that, he had power to save the man from his sins. He has power on earth to forgive sins. Power to forgive sins. Oh, he breaks the power to cancel sin. He sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the foulest clean. His blood avails for me. The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day. And you might say, there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away. Those sins that will drag you down to hell, those sins that will condemn you to hell for all eternity, those sins tonight can be removed and forgiven. And the slate wiped clean. And your sins will never be remembered against you anymore. You'll be able to say with the hymn writer, what though the accuser roar of evils I have done? Sure, I've known thousands more. Jehovah findeth none. Because they're under the blood. Can't be found, they're cast into the sea of God's forgetfulness. He has power. Power. Soul-saving power. Devil-defeating power. There's power tonight in Jesus' blood. And finally, you have the conversion of the man. Lord wasn't long dealing with this man's needs once he came to him. He's not long dealing with your needs of you come to him. Notice in dealing with this man his priority. The man was one, we are told, who was sick of the palsy. The Lord cured him of his disease, but that wasn't his priority. Verse 5. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. That was the priority. And you notice something? He called this man his son. This man was in a new relationship. He was now related to Christ. He was a son of God. And he said, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee.
Yes, the Lord cured the man's disease. But the Lord saved his soul. For you see, the healing of the soul is far more important than the healing of the body. Sin will inflict greater hurt upon the soul than any disease can upon the body. Oh, the pain of the torments and the agonies and the distress of the soul that passes into eternity without forgiveness and without pardon. Didn't the Lord Jesus tell us about the rich man? He had no time for God. All he wanted was his riches. And the rich man died. And he lifted up his eyes in hell, being in torments. And he began to pray in hell. He had a prayer meeting in hell. But he was praying too late. And he prayed, send Lazarus with a drop of water and touch my tongue. Listen, listen to it, for I am tormented in this flame. Now that's not my word. That's the word of God. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ said. And he ought to know. Send Lazarus with a drop of water to touch my tongue, for I am tormented, tormented, tormented in this flame. There's flames in hell. You know, it's like getting a burn in your hand. A few weeks ago, my wife had a pie in the oven, in the cooker, and she lifted it out, she opened the door, and she reached in to lift it out. And something happened, and the pie fell all over her hand. I was up in my study, could hear my wife crying downstairs. Went down to see what happened. And her whole right hand had been burned. And it burned. And it burned. And it burned for days. I was asking her the other day, well, how's your hand these days? Oh, she says it's all right. Pain is gone. The soul is in hell. That soul will burn and burn and burn and burn and burn and burn forever. And the pain will never go away. The suffering will never end. The torments will never be terminated. For it is a fire that will never be quenched. And I'm telling you the truth. Can you not see it? I want to see you saved. But I want to see you go down into that bottomless pit. Oh, will you not come tonight to the Savior? Consider the path. The Lord Jesus healed him, and we're told that he took up his bed and walked.
and was told to go thy way, Luke 5:25, go thy way into thine house. Can you imagine? Can you imagine what it was like in that house that day? When this man returned to his own house, not being carried, but walking, cured, made anew. That was a changed house. Wonder did he have children? Great pastor, preacher in Northern Ireland called Pastor Willie Mullen. I loved his preaching. Sat under it many times. Pastor Mullen told the story of a preacher who had held a gospel campaign in Northern Ireland. And during that 3 or 4 week gospel mission, souls were saved. It was often what was done at the end of the mission. There was an open air in the town, and all the converts came to the open air and to stand around the mic and give their testimony. Tell people how they got saved in the mission. A number of people were saved in this particular mission, and it was the open air. A group of men and women standing around the microphone. One by one testify. The preacher stood at the back of the crowd with his hands behind his back. When suddenly, he felt something been pressed into his hand. And he turned round and there's a wee lad standing beside him. The wee lad had pressed a bag of sticky sweet or candies into his hand. Preacher said, son, what's this for? Says, mister, that's for giving me a new daddy. His dad had got saved in the mission. And he was a new father to his children. He was a new husband to his wife. That's what Christ can do. One of our elders in one of our churches in Ulster, a man called Jackie Neville, he was a hard drinking man. No time for the gospel. Come home at night, drunk, foul temper. He'd often take it out on his wife, beat her up. They tried to get him out to meetings, but out and heard Reverend Foster. There's no change in them. Heard other preachers. One Saturday night, Jackie came home. Once again, stone drunk. Foul mood. And again, he started to take it all out on his wife. Jackie had a little daughter who attended Kilskerry Sabbath School. And her father was in a rage. And the child ran into the bedroom and she got her Bible and she came out. And she opened her Bible. And she showed her daddy John 3:16. And she says, Daddy, you need to be saved. You know, that broke Jackie's heart. Went into the bedroom, got down on his knees, and got saved. And he said afterwards, he says, Foster couldn't do anything for me. Paisley couldn't do anything for me. And he mentioned a whole string of preachers. But my daughter showed me how vile a man I am. And showed me the way to Christ. Jaggy's an elder in Kilskerry School, our church now. Changed home. You can have a changed home tonight. You can have a changed home tonight. You come and receive the Lord as your Savior. I'd love to bring you physically, but I can't. But I trust what we have said tonight, with God's help, will bring you to the Savior. Let's bow our heads in prayer. So our heads are bowed this evening, and our eyes are closed. Every believer is praying. It's the last meeting. It's the last meeting of this evangelistic service. It's the last meeting. Something very solemn about a last meeting. This could be your last opportunity, your last chance. Will you come tonight to Christ? Would you make the Lord Jesus your Savior? There's not much more I can say, except come now to Christ. If the Lord has spoken to you this evening, you say, yes, preacher, I'd love to be saved. I'd love to know the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd love to know the one you've been talking about tonight. If you would like to become a Christian, have your sins forgiven, will you do something for me? Wherever you are in the meeting, would you just quietly slip up your hand? When I see your hand, I'll acknowledge it and you take it down. And we'll meet with you after the meeting. In the quietness and privacy of the minister's room. Not going to call you up to the front or anything like that. Just want to see anyone tonight who would like to be saved. Would you slip up your hand now? When I say it, I'll acknowledge it and you take it down. Anywhere tonight in the service. Come on. It's the last meeting. Could the last opportunity. Let's see your hand. Just slip it up now. Will you come to Christ? If you didn't raise your hand, or maybe I didn't see it, but I invite you to stay behind. You come with a friend, ask them to stay behind with you. Or speak to Dr. Allison or myself at the door. It's the last meeting. Could be your last opportunity. Think upon those things. Think long and hard. Before you go out through that door tonight. O Lord, as is written on this wall, salvation is of the Lord. And Lord, I pray that thou would now do what man cannot do. Lord, pluck brands from the burning. Save some son tonight. Some wayward daughter. Save that husband or that wife. Save that friend. Lord, we know thou will receive them. Thou will embrace them. And from tonight on, thou will never leave them nor forsake them. Praise thy name. Amen.